Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
His power. Is that all right? Everything is moving. I think we just don't give God enough credit because he's blessed us so many ways and so many times. When you woke this morning, he started you on your way, and you got something to be thankful for. And every time, all through life, you know, you get denied, or you get turned down, or you get the answer to your questions and your requests might be saying no. And I just love the song, I say yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I say yes. I will trust you when your spirit speaks to me, and the answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Come on, y'all, let's sing that together. I say yes, Lord. I don't know what y'all come to do, but I come to praise him. I say yes, I will trust him when the spirit and my whole heart and the answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Come on, y'all. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will. I say yes. Trust you when the spirit, can you stay right there? When I woke this morning, hallelujah. Oh, I feel like praising up in here. I say while I'm driving in my car, I might be eating my lunch, might be at home eating my dinner, no phone call. Meditating on the goodness of the Lord, just thinking about what he's done for me, where he brought me from. Come on now, he's been so good to me, better than to me than I've been to myself. Oh Lord, when the spirit speaks to me and my hope and the answer, hold it right there. You know, See, I got to have some word to back me up, Rep. Copeland. You know, because they looking at me like, I've been hearing no all my life. I've been denied all my life. But you know, the Bible says in the 2 Corinthians, it says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Am I right about that? So I know if I find me a promise in the word of God, I know God says yes about it. Am I right about that? See, we need to find a word to speak to us. Yes. To your will, I say yes. I will trust you when the and the answer will be yes. Ah, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. I said, bless his holy name. Now the Bible tells me. Now, it said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now, everybody can praise him, but everybody don't worship him. See, everybody can praise him, but everybody don't worship him. See, you got to get your praise before you can get your worship. Now, Deke, he said in the word, he said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But it said, let everything that have breath praise. See, I just want to make sure you don't get it mixed up. Worship and praise. Amen. Praise to God. We give you honor. We greet you with Jesus' joy. We thank God for this great pastor, my friend. Amen. Pastor Webb and to Mother Webb. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm saying that in a respectful way because she's young. Amen. And to the first family. Amen. First Lady Webb. Amen. God bless you. And the first family of this great church. We're just honored to be here in the presence of the saints of God. Thank God for Solid Rock in the place. Amen. 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 Outreach. Amen. Amen. Pastor Copeland and other churches who have come by here because we know that you are part of the family of God. Amen. We're not going to be with you long. We just thank God for allowing us this opportunity to be here. And maybe we say something to uplift this great church. Amen. As they go doing their revival. Amen. Here at Love Fellowship Believers. Amen. We want to make sure you go on and on. And on. Don't give up. Don't stop. Revival is about reviving. I believe there's a poem that come to mind, Robin. I think two frogs fell in a deep cream bowl, one with an optimistic soul. The other had a despair, a gloomy fate. He said, we're gonna drown if we don't get out of here. The other one said, as he despairing cried, he flung his legs and said goodbye. The other frog said to himself, he said, if I can't make it, I'm going to swim until I can take it. So as he swam his legs and worked out his scheme, more and more the butter, the cream became butter. And when the butter came to the top, that's when he stopped. And then he happily hopped out. But the moral of the story, as it goes to follow, if you can't swim, hop out, just keep on swimming through. Something like that. If you can't be a pine on the top of the hill, be a scrub down in the valley. But be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be the highway, be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It matters not what size you are, just be the best. Whatever you are. Sometimes things don't come out like you want them to. But praise the Lord. Father, we come to you as all as we know how. Thank you for allowing us to be here on this revival night. God, we just thank you because you've been so good to us. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. We ask, Lord, that you just allow us to come and speak to us tonight. Speak your word, God. We need a word from you. We can't do anything without you, God. And we ask, God, that you just lift us up, edify us through your word. That we'll leave here better than we came. That we'll know, God, that you're working with us, working through us, and working in us to be what you have called us to be. So, God, we ask that you take me out of self. Let your spirit speak through me. Speak to me. That the words may come forth. Living words. We want to be like Peter. Say, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. And so, God, we declare it, we believe it. We trust you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the redeemed say amen. There are two portions of scripture that I'd like to read in your hearing this evening. That was read earlier during your responsive reading. John, the first chapter, the 12th verse. And it says, but as many as received him, to him gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And then in the book of Acts, you find these words in the first chapter. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want to talk from the subject. We hear a lot about power. But I want to talk from the subject. You got the power. Look at your neighbor and say, you got the power. You got the power. I know you don't feel like it sometimes, but you got the power. We talk about financial power, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. We talk about intellectual power, Maya Angelou and those that are in the scholaristic academicians. We talk about political power, those that running policies and affecting lives of millions and millions of people. We talk about religious power when we look at Pope Francis. But I'm glad to know there's some other power that we may not be aware of, but we have inherited. It's an innate part of a Christian life. And you have that power. You have that power. It's interesting that we find just these two sources that I lift up the night of power, where Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the offsprings of God. And then we read in the book of Acts, and you shall receive power. And I, no doubt the disciples was worried about this and concerned about this, because they were wondering what they were going to have when Jesus left the earth and everything. And they wanted to know what was going to be left for them to carry on God's work. And I thought it was interesting, because there are different words for power in the Bible. You got kratos and you got energia. Kratos is creative power, aristocrat, to get the word plutocrat, you know, those kind of crack, you know. And energy, you know, when you're working out, you know, you're working in that type of power. But two words that arise in my spirit about power is the one in the first chapter of John, where he says, and as many as received him, to them gave he power. That's the power, exousia. I'm trying to preach up in here. Exousia power. Exousia power. And then the book of Acts, it talks about you shall receive power. And that's the power dynamo, where we get the word dynamite. So I got exousia power, and I got dynamite power. Y'all don't believe what the words say. I don't believe. Because if you had some power, you had some praying power. You had some praising power. You had some present power. And so it is. You got exousia power. And we get the word exude from exousia, meaning that something's coming out of me. Can I get a witness up in here? And then you don't. Not only do you have exousia power, but you have dynamo power, where we get the word dynamite, which is exerting power. So not only is it exuding, but it's exerting. God Almighty, I wish I could talk to somebody up in here. Because not only is it exuding out of me, but it's exerting from me. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And so that means that I can change some things, not only in my life, but in life of other folk. And so it is that we find that in the book of John, it's interesting that Jesus performed seven miracles, and the number seven is an interesting number because it's, one is God, two is witness, three is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, four is direction, four seasons, east, north, south, and west, four seasons of the year, five is grace, how you spell grace, J-E-S-U-S, six is a number for man, because man was created on the sixth day. It's one number least from completion. 7 means completion. 8 means a new beginning. 9 means fruits of the Spirit. 10 means Decalogue. 11 means confusion. 12 means divine government. Can I talk to somebody up in here? You know, I say it's Solid Rock. This is not a monologue, but a dialogue. You talk to me and I talk to you. And so the number 7 means completion. It means complete. You got 7 days in the week, 7 holes in your head, 7 colors in the rainbow, 7 notes in the scales. Oh, God Almighty. You got seven sides, Sister Stacy. You got 7 sides. You got the front side, the back side, the right side, the left side, the upside, the downside, and the inside. Can I talk to somebody up in here? You got 7. And so we find that Jesus performed 7 miracles. And it's interesting. It lets me know something about Jesus and his power that he exerts and he exudes through his miracles. The first miracle that comes to mind in the book of John, because it's just 7 miracles that he performs in the book of John, because the book of John, I wish I could talk, the book of Matthew speaks to the Jews, Luke speaks to the Greeks, Mark speaks to the Romans, but John speaks to the whole world. Can I get a witness up in here? And so it is that we find that Jesus performed 7 miracles. The first miracle Jesus performed in the second chapter of John, where he turns water into wine. The Bible indicates that they was invited over to the wedding and they ran out of wine and all of a sudden Jesus asked, his mother asked him, what you gonna do? We need to get some, replete the wines. And Jesus said, it ain't my time yet, woman, and everything. He was speaking of divinity, his divine destination. And so we find that Jesus, she says to the servant, whatsoever he says, do it. That's the greatest advice ever given to mankind. Whatsoever he say, do it. Lord have mercy. I wish I had some doers of the word and not just hearers only. Can I talk to somebody up in here? And so the Bible said he took the water pots, the 6 water pots, was with 40 or 60 gallons each. And when they poured the water out, it's turned to wine. One theologian said, divinity looked at the water and the water started blushing. In other words, and then when the governors and the dignitaries and those respectable people start drinking the wine, they said, normally you leave the worst for last, but you saved the best for last. Oh, God Almighty, I'm so glad that he got power over substance. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God got power over substance? I'm glad that he can take my ends and they don't meet, but he can make them meet because he got power over substance. I'm glad that I serve a God like that. Am I right about that? He got power over substance. Anybody know you? He got power over when you thought you wasn't going to make it, but he made a way anyhow. He got power over substance. And then, not only in the second chapter, but then we find in the 4th chapter, we find where Jesus performs another miracle. In the 4th chapter, we find where, he had a nobleman who came to Jesus in Capernaum. And after he had the encounter with the woman on the well, everybody know that story. But you got to go beyond that story in the chapter down at the bottom where it's hidden in the back pages of the newspaper, where you find where a man, a nobleman from Capernaum, he tells Jesus, said, my son is sick, and Jesus tells him, said, don't worry, you just go on back home. He wanted Jesus to come to his house, but he said, just go on home, everything will be all right. And so when he got home the next day, his servants met him on his way and said that your son has amended, he's already healed. He said, what time was it that he got healed? He said, about certain such time yesterday. He said, that was the same time I met the master. Not only does he have power over substance, but he got power over distance. Anybody know no time zone can ever limit God? He got power over distance. I'm glad he can be right here and be over there at the same time. He's a God that's omniscient and not only all-knowing, but he's omnipresent. He can be everywhere, anywhere. Oh, God Almighty, wish I could talk to somebody up here. That's the reason why you can pray and don't have to worry about your kids and your loved ones, because God is right here and he's right there at the same time.
Oh, God Almighty, I'm glad no distance don't live in my God. Not only do we find that the second chapter, we find that he has power over distance. I wish I could talk to somebody up in here, knowing, Linda, that you can pray and God can work something out in a long distance as well as a short distance. Aren't you glad about that? You know, some folk can do stuff locally and other folk can do internationally, but God can do worldwide. Hallelujah. I wish I could talk to somebody up in here. He got power over distance. And then in the fifth chapter, we find that there was a man by the well of Bethesda, of the pool of Bethesda, and he was there for 38 years. Am I right, Sister Linda? And 38 years, he was trying to get in the water. Every year, the water would stir. Angel would come by and stir the water, and he would try to get in, and somebody always get in before him. They were lame, they were maimed, they was crippled and handicapped, and they were trying to get in at the moving of the water. But when Jesus showed up, he told the man to take up his bed and walk. He'd been sick for 38 years. Oh, God Almighty, I wish I can get somebody to help me tonight. That not only does he have power over substance, not only does he have power over distance, but he got power over time. Oh, God Almighty. Am I right about that? He may not come when I want him, but he's right on time, sisters. I'm so glad to know that he's a God that's on time. Amen. He's an on-time God. Am I right about that? You just got to wait on the Lord and renew your strength and man up on the like wings of an eagle and run and don't be weary. Oh, Lord have mercy. Walk and not faint. He got power over time. I'm glad that you might be in time, but God is over time. I only have a minute, only 60 seconds, and the fourth appointment came, refused it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but must give account if I abuse it, because I only have a minute, but there is eternity in it. Am I right about that? I'm glad he got power over time. Don't worry about no time, because I'm not dealing with time, I'm dealing with eternity. Not only does he have power over time, not only does he have power over substance, not only does he have power over distance, but then I see in the sixth chapter, just a few more, the sixth chapter, we find that they had the 5,000 men, the Deacon Stewart, and wasn't counting the women and the children, might have been 15,000, and he tell Phyllis, how much money we got? Phyllis said, we got 200 pennies worth. That's equivalent, because if you calculate right, because every day a day's wage, the equivalent of it was of 7 months' pay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just think about how much you get paid. That's how much they had in the account. But it still wasn't enough. Oh, Lord have mercy, to take care of 15,000 folk. And he said, sit them down in 50s. And there was a lad there with lunch, two fish and five loaves of bread. Am I right about that? And he said, look here, let me bless this bread. And then you have them sit down and then you distribute it and we'll never run out. Can I get a witness up in here? Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for fortune or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you do it in Jesus' name. Am I right about that? And so it is that he took the bread and he blessed it and it multiplied. He broke it and blessed it. See, sometimes God got to break us so that he can multiply us. Am I right about that? Can I talk to somebody up in here? I'm so glad that he got power. Does he have power over substance? Am I right about that? He got power. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm glad to know that God got that kind of power over substance. And then following that, we find that they dispersed. They had 12 bags left over. You know, anytime God blesses you, he's going to give you an overflow. Lord, he's going to give you enough that you might bless somebody else. You need to catch that. Amen. He just didn't give you just enough to take care of what you need to take care of, but he gave you just enough to be a blessing to somebody else. I feel like preaching up in here. And then not only do we find that he had power over substance, had power over distance and power over time, but then we find that he had power. The Bible said they dispersed and they went. The disciples they went and got in the boats, and Jesus went his way in a different direction, and they didn't know where he was going. And all of a sudden night fell and it was dark, and they was on the ship on the boat in the middle of the. I want to say Tiberius, but I know it's Galilee too. It's just two words of the same lake. I just, in case y'all want, I'm not confused about it, because I got some preachers over here know what I'm talking about. Am I right about that? And so it is that they were right there. And the Bible says that they were 30 furlongs, which means that they were like about 4 miles out in the lake. But you got to understand the geography of the lake, because Galilee is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. In other words, if they 4 miles, they could see, but they were right in the middle of the lake. And the wind started to blow. The tempest started. Oh, God Almighty, got kind of rough up in there. And Jesus started walking on the water. And they saw something. They didn't know whether it was ghost or spirit or poltergeist. They didn't know what it was. They got afraid. He said, "Be not afraid. It is I." Oh, God Almighty. I wish I knew. I wish y'all know that I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am, oh, God Almighty, the light of the world. He said, "Don't be afraid. It's just me." Can I get a witness up in here? But what I loved about the text, because you got to read it. Oh, Lord, the Bible said once he got in the ship, that's when they got on the shore. Oh, God Almighty. Y'all better talk to me up in here. Somebody better read it. Oh, God Almighty. In other words, when Jesus got on the ship in the middle of the lake, that's when they got on the shore. I don't know how it took place, but it must have turned from a ship to a helicopter. Ah, God Almighty, won't God do it? And power over nature. Yes, it does. He has power over nature. I'm glad he got power over nature. I ain't worried about what today. I don't care what the mediocrities say. You know, I say that's the only job that they can lie and still keep the job. Am I right about that? I'm glad he's in charge of everything. God got control over nature. Not only does he have control over the nature on the outside, but he got control of the nature on my inside. Y'all ain't gonna mess with y'all tonight. I ain't gonna mess with y'all tonight. Because I'm a new creation and all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And then not only does he have power over nature in the sixth chapter, but then if you jump to the ninth chapter, I believe that's number six. Am I right about that? Am I right about that? Number seven in the ninth chapter, we find that a man was born blind, and disciples went into town and they said, "Lord, who did sin? Was it the mama? Was it the daddy? Somebody sinned for to cause this situation in his life." Jesus said, "Nobody sinned. It wasn't a mama. It wasn't a daddy. It wasn't nobody sinned. This was done so that God could get the glory." Am I right about that? You know, God just wanted to get the glory in your life. I don't care what you're doing. You're doing it all for the glory of God. God just wanted to get the glory. That's all. That's all he wanted to do. Whatever he blessed you, he just wants to get the glory. If he get the glory and the praise, you'll be all right. Am I right about that? And so it is that we find that the man, he told the man to go down to the pool of Siloam, and which means sent. Yeah, he meant sent, meaning he's sending you. You got to be sent. And when he send you, you got to go. You can't be holding up. You can't be reserved. You can't be holding back. I go if I got to go by myself. Is that all right? You heard the song. Y'all heard the song before. And so it is. So it is that the Bible healed the man. And the man went through the process of knowing who Jesus is. Am I right about that? First he didn't know who he said some man. Then he said a teacher, rabbi. Then he said a savior. Then he called him Lord. See, that's your process of you learning God. Don't ever think that you know everything about God. You still in the school. Ah, Lord have mercy. Can I talk to somebody up in here? I'm still learning. I'm still. The more I learn, the more I know I don't know. Is that all right? We need to study to show ourselves approved. A workwoman that needs not be ashamed. That's what's wrong with the church. He said, "My people die, perish because of lack of knowledge." But when you know the word, and not only when you know the word, but when the word know you. I heard Jesus say, "If my word abide in you, and you abide in my word, whatever you ask in my name." Can I teach somebody up in here? I need somebody to get in the word. You didn't got in everybody else's business. Robin, I'm ready to get out of here. They ain't ready. They You didn't get in everybody else's business. You didn't got in Oprah Winfrey's business. You didn't got in Trump's business. But you ought to get in God's business. And you'll make a difference in the world. Yes, you will. Because God trying to exercise the power in you. You hear what I'm saying? God trying to exercise the power in you. Because there's something within I can't explain. It's something within, that pulls on the rain. It's something within, Lord have mercy. It's something within. And see, not only does he have power of distance, substance, time, not only power over condition, not only power over nature, but he got power over death. Am I right about that? He got power over death. I believe somebody's been speaking life. Am I right about that? Deek. When they gave you up and they shook their heads, but God wasn't finished with you yet. Need some folk to speak life and not death. Pastor, well, we need some folk to speak life and not death. I believe that's the reason why so many shootings going on and so many folk dying and so much chaos and so much drama. Because the church ain't speaking what it need to speak. Am I right about that? But when we start speaking what God says, I think it'll change some things. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know how some folk come and talking to you and everything. And it don't even mix with your spirit. And you know that's a lie. You know that the Lord ain't never said nothing like that. You know, he said you'll be the head and not the tail. He said you're blessed. Am I right? And you're not cursed. He said you'll be on top and not the bottom. I wish I could talk to somebody up in here. That know God is trying to do something in your life. I heard when he said in greater works, you should do. Because I go to the Father. Isn't it what he said 14 times? And greater works you shall do. You get a dream, you better stick with it. You get something that God put in your spirit and put on your heart, you better stick with it. So he had power over death. That's my last one, Rose. He had power over death. The Bible tells me that Lazarus, his friend, was sick, and they sent word about 3 or 4 miles away to Jesus, told him to come because Lazarus is sick. And Jesus waited around for 4 days. Some theologians believe, Brother Stacy, that because of superstition, that the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days. And then it left, and that's the reason why Jesus didn't come back for 4 days. But whatever the reason, when they came out, Martha and Mary, and said, Lord, if you had been here, he said, but he'll live again. They said, we know he'll live in the general resurrection. He said, but you don't understand. I am the resurrection and the life. Anybody that believes in me should not perish, but anybody who dies should live again. Am I right about that? And the Bible said he went out into the cemetery and said, Lazarus, 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 come forth. And, you know, when God brings somebody alive, it takes the church to untie him. Because, see, he was wrapped in burial clothes. And, see, the church need to know how to take the burial clothes off of folk that God had made alive. I'm trying to minister up in here. I'm trying to minister up in here. See, that's the work of the church, is to get the grave. You can't save nobody. God does the saving. God does the delivering. God is the one that makes the person alive. You just got to take the grave clothes off. See, because that's why they back in the old life, because you didn't realize you wasn't taking the grave clothes off, and you were looking at them and saying, I thought they were saved. They are saved. They just still got some grave clothes on. All right, let me get on out of here. But it's at the church to take the grave. That's what revive is all about. To revive me. To get me back on track. And so the Bible said he called Lazarus. And when he called him, somebody said the reason he called Lazarus, because if he would have said, come forth, the grave would have came alive. The birds would have came alive. The dinosaurs would have came alive. The flies would have came alive. the grass would have came alive. The flowers would have came alive. Because see, when he said come forth, everything got to come alive. That means why he had to be specific about who needed to come forth. Oh, God. As I get out of your way tonight, I recall the story about we got power. Not on exousia and dynamite, meaning exude and exert. Exude and exert. It got to come out of the inside before it could show on the outside. Exude and exert. A lot of churches exuding, but they ain't exerting. We got a whole world. The Bible said that the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Pray to the one in charge of the harvest that more laborers will go out there. You ain't got to walk around with a Bible on your head and talking about, I know the Lord. God, the Bible, the word I hear it in my heart. You ain't got to have the biggest cross in Greensboro. You know what I'm saying? You just have to let your light shine. As I get out of here, I recall a story. Brother Saber, a man was riding Rolls Royce in Europe. And the Rolls Royce broke down on the side of the road. And he called England and told them, said, my Rolls Royce broke down. And they said, well, sir, we'll have an engineer mechanic there as soon as possible. Flew the mechanic out and got the Rolls Royce and got the part and put it on the Rolls Royce and got the man back on the road. And several months the man was at home thinking, said, I hadn't received a bill from the Rolls Royce company for the repairs and the mechanic coming out working on my Rolls Royce. So he decided to give them a call and says, talk to the secretary and said, excuse me, ma'am, my Rolls Royce broke down a few months ago and I just hadn't received the bill for the expenses of its repairs. And I just want to know what happened. Did it get lost in the mail? And so the woman said, well, hold up, sir. I'll get back with you. She came back on the phone and said, sir, we don't recall any Rolls Royce ever breaking down that we know of. And what I'm trying to say to somebody tonight, I'm glad the Lord don't look at my past. I've been broke. You've been shattered. You've been broken down. But God don't look at you like that. You're more than conquerors. You're more than conquerors. You're more than conquerors in Christ. Huh? My church called me pastor. My friends called me Rob. My cousins called me cuz. My mama called me boy. But only Jesus called you conquerors. Ain't that all right? You got something in you that God trying to get out. He want to deliver you so that you can do the work of the Lord. Is that all right? He wants you to show yourself mightily in this world. And because whatever Jesus done, he tells us to do the same. But we got to work and work and work. I love that verse, the Great Commission, Pastor Kevin. It says, go in all the world. I know your pastor been in Jamaica doing missionary work. Huh? Coming back with a new look. Missionary work. Huh? I like it. That's all right. Amen. That's all right. But it went out doing missionary work. We do missionary work. I can't go to the projects looking like this and walk up there knocking on somebody's door. They ain't never had a suit in their life. And talking about you need to know the Lord. They look at me crazy and say, you selling something? You sell some back and clothes? You know what I'm saying? Jesus knew how to get with the masses. You know, this is where we come to worship and praise. But we need to participate and get involved. Whether it's the grocery store, whether it's on your job, whether it's in the school, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether whoever you come in contact with. Because I always say this, God always allows you a chance to say something on his behalf when he gives you that opportunity. It's up to you. You can have that conversation with somebody and they talk, yeah, child, you know, it's been rough out here. It's tough. And you're like, you're right about that, girl. Let me tell you my story. But that's God saying, go ahead, tell him. Tell him what I've done. Tell him what I'm doing. Tell him how I bless you. Huh? That's all God asks. That's all God. Tell him what I've done. That's how you magnify God. You're planting that seed. You're being involved. I'm glad God looks at me like that. He sees something in all of us. He sees something in all of us. You can't do what I do, and I can't do what you do. But God got a mission for you. May God bless you. May God keep you. You got the power. Say you got the power. I got the power. I got the power. I got the power. I got the Holy Ghost power. I got the Holy Spirit power. I got the power to put things straight. I got the power to reconcile. I got the power to realize. I got the power to heal. I got the power to enrich. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. You got to say it if you believe it. Because if you don't say it, it can't happen. From your words. Lord, thank you tonight. Thank you, God, for letting us know we have the power. I don't care what age we are, from the youngest to the eldest. You got us here for a reason. You want us to do your work. You want us to do your work in our work. You want us to promote you. You want us to declare your word. You want us to pray for somebody. You want us to assist and help somebody that they may see the God in you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you tonight because, God, you're moving in a mighty special way. You're taking us to higher levels. You're taking us to other plateaus. You're not finished with us yet. We don't retire in this business. We don't retire when it comes to working for the Lord. We don't retire when it comes to ministering to God. For God. We don't retire. But God, when our work is done, we want to hear you say, well done. I believe Minister Iris, I always love her. May the works I've done speak for me. May the works I've done speak for me. When I'm done and the work, oh, may the works I've done speak for me. May the life I live. Pray that you realize the power that you have in yourself, the power
power you have in yourself that God has placed in you. Become a new creation. Your new creation. Amen. Pastor Kev. Amen. Amen. We ask that you stand. Amen. And amen. Amen. If someone needs prayer, we want to ask that you come to the altar. You know, we were talking last week about the altar and how when they had victory over Jericho and victory over Ai in the book of Joshua. I always say the book of Joshua is a book of deliverance. And the Bible told them to build an altar on Mount Ebal, which was the mountain of cursing. But then you had the mountain of blessings on Gerizim. Yeah. He said Gerizim is the mountain where they pronounced the blessings. But Mount Ebal, which was probably, both mountains was a little over 3,000 feet. They were a little higher than Pilot Mountain, you know, that you see down on 52 in Winston. And they built an altar on Mount Ebal, the mountain of cursing, because they didn't need an altar on the mountain of blessings. But what I'm trying to say is that in the New Testament, the Bible says an altar that superseded all other altars was when Jesus died on the cross. God became his own sacrifice and died for our sins. Boy, we knew what God has done for us. Lord, we'll shout all day long. And so now we don't talk about altars in the New Testament. You don't see no altars in the New Testament, because the altar is where you find God. Wherever you find God, that's where your altar is at. And I said Sunday, Pastor Kevin, I said altars are where you die. You don't die in service, you die at the altar. Because he said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before the Lord. Boy, if we could get this thing in our... Thank you, Lord. So as we come to our altar where God meets us, whether you're standing, whether you're sitting, whether you're coming forward, Lord, we come to you right now. We come to you, God, thanking you for the many blessings. Thanking you, God, for taking all our curses, all our sins, all our transgressions, past, present, and future. Dying on the cross and said it's finished. We say thank you, Lord. Lord, let us stop living in the past. Stop letting us live guilty lives of something that happened in the past. Let us put our past behind and go forward. Because God, we realize that our future is bigger than our past. We thank you, Lord. Ain't nothing we can do about the past. But God, we can do something about the present. And we say thank you, God. Lord, help us to know what we have and how to exert it and exude it in our life. Lord, touch this church family. Touch each member here, each person here up under the sound of my voice. Bless them in a special way, Lord. Let them know that they got power. You said in your word, go ye in all the world, teaching and preaching and baptizing. And then you promised, said, Lord, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. You made a promise you'll be there with us. And we say, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, let us start right here. Let us start right here. Let us start right here. Being ministers, let us start right here. Of being servants, let us start right here, God. Being renewed. Hallelujah. With a word from God. Touching lives, touching spouses, touching children, touching kids, touching grandchildren, touching members, touching friends. Lord, you got a work for us to do. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this vineyard. Thank you for this ministry. You're reaching so far, near and wide. Bless each pastor here. Bless their ministry, God. Lord, you got so much for us to do. You don't give pink slips. You don't lay off. You don't scale back. You say, go forward and I'll be with you. And if you go forward, I'll bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless every deacon here, every trustee, every auxiliary represented in each and every church. Every church represented here from New Light and from St. Paul, from St. James, from Solid Rocks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for this church. Love, fellowship, believers, God. We thank you for this pastor. Continue to lift him up, Lord. Prop him up on every lean aside. Touch his wife, God. Let them be one. Hallelujah. Let them have one vision, Lord. Bring their children up, God, in the admonition of the Lord. Let them be great for you, Lord. In whatever avenue you call them in, whatever profession, whatever gift they have, God bless them. You got a mighty work for them. Hallelujah. Thank you. Every young person in here, every youth in here, touch them right now. Put the anointing on them right now, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And even us, God, who feel like we're in the twilight of our life, put a new, fresh anointing on us. Let us know you ain't finished with us yet. You still got a work for us to do. You still got dreams to fulfill. You still got visions that you want to materialize. Thank you, Lord. Let us learn how to be victorious. Let us learn how to live like champions. Let us know that we're children of the King. We're royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're precious people. Chosen generation. Called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Continue to bless this revival. And Lord, thank you for the success of it. Thank you for the faithfulness of it. Thank you for the increase of it. Thank you for the overabundance of it. Thank you for the overjoy, the surplus. Oh, some folks may say, oh, I don't see nobody. It's the same folk. But we see something different, Lord. Oh, God Almighty, like the lad who told Elijah, look at all the folk around us. He said, Lord, open their eyes so they can see the other crowd that's around the crowd that's already around us. Lord, we see it. We see it filling. We see it overflow. We see it increase, God. Everywhere, outreach, St. James, Solid Rock, and here, Lord. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for the increase. We thank you right now. 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 We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're doing it right now. You started it right now. You blessing right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.